A science show about the biggest. Are we thinking bigger, perchance? Rivers, planets, fusion power plants. So let's try whales now. These whales look smaller, but once they were the greatest. Matt Smith is with curator Eric Fitzgerald at the Museum of Victoria.
Eric, what are we looking at here today? Can you tell me about this fossil and why it was just put in a drawer for about 100 odd years?
Some of the greatest discoveries made in science, and in particular paleontology, are not made in the field, but museum basements. And this particular fossil is brownish slabs of bone about the size of an A4 sheet of paper that were sticking out of a cliff along the banks of the Murray River hundreds of thousands of years, if not millions of years. And way back in the early 20th century, they were found by a gifted, assiduous fossil collector called Frank Cudmore. They ended up in Melbourne Museum, in what was then the National Museum of Victoria, and lay sort of dormant, waiting for their secrets to be revealed once someone looked at them and realised what their significance was. And that's where I enter the story.
These sat in a drawer for a long time. What made you pull them out, look at them, and rethink what they're telling you?
Back in 2004, I was a PhD student and I was doing a big survey of all the whales, bones of living species as well, in the museum collection. And I got to the cabinet of South Australian fossils and I thought, well, you know, there is a chance that there's fossil whales, because I knew that from the geology of the area that there were rocks of the right type formed on the seabed millions of years ago and the right age, somewhere between about 0 and 40 million years old. And I opened a drawer and there was this particular fossil found at a particular stretch along the Murray River near the township of Wongulla, where the rocks are getting pretty old. And if any whale fossils were found in rocks of that age, they could be outsized, whale-sized paleontological importance. And it was then when I also realized from the structures on these fossilized jawbones that these were the chin of a baleen whale. So these include things like the living blue, humpback, and southern right whales. So with all that information, it suddenly all came together as these are pretty important.
We had knowledge before this that whales of that age were of a particular size. So did the people who found this have a kind of assumed length that this was and what these fossils represented?
So the original fossil collector, Frank Cudmore, way back in the 1920s, he would have recognised that these were the fossilised jawbones of a baleen whale. But because at that time, the field of fossil whale research and whale evolution was really almost in early stages, and we didn't have the grand view, if you like, sort of the chronicle of whale evolution in our mind. It's only in the light of more recent research that the significance of this fossil whale could have been realised. I then promptly put them back in the box and said, it's really cool, really interesting, but we're not going to be able to make any sense of it because I'm not going to be able to prove just how large the whale was that had these jawbones, because this part of the jawbone in whales doesn't really tell us anything about the size of the whole whale, let alone the size of the whole jaw. More than a decade after I first saw them, along came a really talented student, James Rule. James went about the relatively laborious task of almost taking as many measurements as you could from the lower jaws of living baleen whales. And what he was trying to do was find out if you could use just a handful of measurements. And lo and behold, he found there was a very strong statistical relationship between the height of the very chin end, the front end of the lower jaw of a baleen whale, and the total length of the lower jaw. And if you can estimate the entire length of that lower jaw, you can actually fairly reliably estimate the total length of that whale's skeleton. Bingo. James solved the problem of how to make the broader sense of these fairly, frankly, plain-looking fossil fragments.
So what can you tell me then? How is it significant?
James's work enabled us to estimate the total length of this particular Wongulla Murray River whale as around about 9 metres in length. That's about a third of the length of the largest known living blue whales, okay? So for a whale alive today, this is small-sized. However, 9 meters long around 19, 20 million years ago is huge. The largest whales from that time were around about 5-6 meters in length. So this is really twice as large as all the other fossil whales known from that time. That suggests to us that baleen whales evolved to much larger sizes earlier. Sure, not as colossal as the living blue whale or fin whale, but for their age, these were big fellas.
Part of the story, I understand it, is a difference in the whale sizes that you're finding of this age in the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere, and a difference in how well the fossil record has been explored in the Southern Hemisphere. So can you tell me about that and why this is maybe significant for this species?
We understand in general the fossil record in the Northern Hemisphere, and this goes for almost all animals and plants, in far more detail and far more comprehensively than the global south. It's been thought that from fossils of baleen whales found in the Northern Hemisphere, and I stress almost entirely the Northern Hemisphere, whales evolved to huge size, sort of the 9 meter, 10 meter long scale, relatively recently. Well, what this fossil shows, along with a couple of other key fossils found in both Australia and particularly Peru in South America, is that once you factor in this relatively little documented, poorly understood fossil record of whales in the Southern Hemisphere, the pattern instead shows that whales evolved to much larger size around about 15 million years earlier than thought. And it also shows in our study that the Southern Hemisphere really changes that story dramatically. Once you exclude the Southern Hemisphere fossils, you do get a strong bias from the Northern Hemisphere record. And it really highlights how significant it is and also just how strongly overlooked the Southern Hemisphere record of whale evolution has been. And it's our job now to turn that around even more.
What can knowing that these whales were bigger earlier tell you about what it means for marine life in general at that time?
One thing that we know about is that a little bit before 20 million years ago, the globe cools quite dramatically, and you get at around about 23 million years ago, the first major pulse of ice sheet expansion in the Antarctic and dramatic cooling of the Southern Ocean. Now, this is a process that had already started to happen at around about 34 million years ago. But around 23, 22 million years ago, just before this whale died and began to be fossilised, we know that the oceans cool. And not only that, when they cool, there's an increase in upwelling, and that is the drawing up of nutrients from deep in the oceans up to the surface waters. We're talking about plankton here. Mm. We can infer from the coincidental increase in the body size in whales that perhaps that increase in the bounty of the ocean may have set the scene for whales to evolve to larger sizes, not only because of that food source, but also started to evolve larger and larger to enable them to capitalize on that huge increase in plankton abundance in the Southern Oceans. And that has continued more or less unbroken right through to the present day in the form of the blue whale, the largest known whale that's ever lived, indeed the largest known animal that's ever lived. Understanding what has shaped and driven the evolution of whale body size is really important because it's mostly being driven by changes in the physical environment. That has some bearing on what's going on in our planet today. And also for us to understand exactly what are the ocean conditions that can support such magnificent examples of the biosphere. If that started 20 million years ago, then the ecological feedback mechanisms that have supported really large whales, and we infer lots and lots of very large whales, has to be a very, very old relationship in the ocean from an ecological sense. Now, of course, that's at risk. And the question that is raised from this deep time perspective is, frankly, can those conditions that for so long have sustained the world we're in, which I call the age of whales, will they be sustained? Time and the oceans will tell, but the fossil record shows us that these relationships, especially in the Southern Hemisphere, have existed for a very long time indeed, and therefore the need for us to take stock of that and preserve or help those ecological interactions and biodiversity becomes, if you like, an even more somber and important responsibility for us now that we're the drivers of that environmental change.
Eric Fitzgerald, Curator of Vertebrate Paleontology at Museums Victoria, with Matt Smith, looking carefully at those scruffy, forgotten bones in the basement.